crew, Travis.
Hey, we're all back.
Sean, everybody. It's beautiful.
Putting the band back
together. Super excited to be here.
How was the Galapagos?
Again. I'm tan in all the wrong places.
It says
which
you.
Is so weird to me. It's just like, for some reason, there's a statue of me now when I was leaving. As I was leaving, I just saw them like building this thing. I'm like, what is happening? But I was into it, you know? But yeah, I mean, I did it. Yeah. It was
and
great.
Then they made me their king.
Yeah, it was mm-hmm. great.
They use that statue to tell what time it is now.
Yeah.
It's apparently either 6 or midnight. It's, either way.
It's always 5.
So good to be back.
Yeah.
And so today we're going to discuss Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow.
Yes.
Travis's pick from last time. And we're going to drink a little wine. That we started off with the Lon Crianza, a Rioja from Spain. Nice red, 2016. Drinking really well, I thought. Nice and fruity, rich.
Rioja.
Has a little bit of that European, like that tannic
tasted
flavor.
Real Rioja.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like Rioja. Mm. But yeah, nice little Spanish red. I'll put a link to that on the website and on the podcast. So
yeah,
take a look. Next, we're gonna drink a little Los Rocas Garnacha from Spain. Another really good Spanish red. We're gonna do all Spanish reds because again, we're going back to old movies. So if we go back to some wines, I went through a real big Spanish phase. You know, so it was kind of. Kind of like jazz.
And they're always good for bang for the buck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of the Spanish wines.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you get a good $20 Spanish red, you know, that's good with a lot of meals, and it'll age for a while, and it's pretty versatile. So
smooth.
Sure. Exactly. So, Sky Captain, World of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
2004 release. That was Jude Law, Gwyneth Paltrow, and what we've discussed is basically like a glorified cameo from Angelina Jolie.
Yeah.
But also had like, was it Michael Gambon from
Dumbledore?
Yeah. Mm-hmm,
from Dumbledore 2.
Mm-hmm. Giovanni Ribisi.
Yes.
I'm a fan of him.
Mm-hmm, yeah. He does good stuff.
Good shit.
So a lot of recognizable people in the cast. Yeah. And Laurence Olivier playing Lord Tutankhamun or whatever the hell his name is, which was a bizarre thing. We'll get to that later. But so the basic. So this is an example of diesel punk. Am I right?
Yeah, that term I just learned.
Mm-hmm, same.
A few weeks ago.
Steampunk I was familiar with. So basically, diesel punk is like, stop me if I'm wrong here, but like a kind of retro futuristic look at like pre-World War II where you have like these crazy kind of Buck Rogers type inventions and like...
A lot of Art Deco themes.
Yeah.
Straight lines.
Yeah.
Like so it takes place a little bit after World War One and even a little bit after World War II. And there's two different kinds of diesel punk. One is kind of a more utopian, like the Roaring Twenties never stopped. And then there's one that a little bleaker that's, you know, if the Nazis essentially are still winning or have won or something and they have crazy big machines. So other diesel punk.
Oh, there's actually there's a third diesel punk.
Like, is there?
Yeah. Vin Diesel punk.
Jeez.
It's just Fast and Furious movies.
A lot of cars, you know, really going fast.
No hair.
Very furious.
Yeah.
I'm Groot.
But like other diesel punk movies would be The Iron Giant, Rocketeer, the first Captain America movie.
Iron Sky. Right.
Oh, yeah. Iron Sky. I still haven't seen that yet. But, yes.
Maybe The Shadow. I mean, would that be?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or even like the Phantom, some of those old like
serials. The Phantom for sure.
Yeah. So this is set right before World War II, a couple of years, I guess, anyway. So you had the threat of Nazis coming in.
And it all started on a Hindenburg 3.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so basically.
Marking the entire Empire State Building, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's definitely a lot of callbacks in this to like the movies that like I got like the King Kong vibe of that being at the top of the Empire State Building.
Yeah, King Kong is actually in the background of one of the scenes, I guess.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
So basically, this Jude Law plays like this ace fighter pilot, kind of I would say a little bit like Bondish type. War hero.
Very Bondish.
And then Gwyneth Paltrow is the Girl Friday reporter type. You know, the intrepid. Lois Lane. And they kind of unite to figure out, like, these scientists disappear, and they're trying to figure out, like, it ties into some big, I would say almost kind of, you know, Hydra, Red Skull, like shenanigans, like yeah. to build like this, you know, humanity destroying, you know, devices.
Yeah. It's an arc.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spoilers.
Which is a little bit Bond.
I thought we were doing synopsis.
It's a little bit James Bondish as well, you know.
Oh, yes.
And so those two are the main stars of the film. Everybody else, I would say, is a supporting character, including Angelina Jolie, even though she gets a high billing. And she's like this, you know, Squadron Nita, you know, RAF. Again, kind of a
Nick Fury, because she's got a helicarrier.
Yeah, and but she comes in the third act
yeah.
and mm-hmm. is there for like
10, yeah,
maybe 10 minutes.
Screen time total, yeah. Mm-hmm. I will say, I'm adjusting my list. I'm adding Angelina Jolie and Angelina Jolie with an eye patch. Like, so now she's taking up two spots.
To your list? Yes. What list?
Celebrity bang list.
Oh,
yeah. It's like, I started with that one eye, and I'm like,
yeah. Incidentally,
is this, you know, what Angelina Jolie.
Yeah, exactly.
So you know what could make Angelina Jolie more attractive if we hobbled her in some way.
Yes. Okay. Honestly, top five: eye patch, wheelchair, cast, oxygen tank. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just all going to be Angelina Jolie.
Yeah. Yeah. Iron lung.
Yes.
Which instantly, I watched a movie called Georgetown, which was directed by Christoph Waltz. He also stars in it, and he plays like this kind of catch me if you can kind of fraud impersonator, and he wears an eye patch during some scenes, and he gets confused sometimes. Sometimes they're like, weren't you wearing an eye patch when I met you? He's like, no, maybe.
Yeah. It's like a young Frankenstein, like,
yeah.
Wasn't like, your hump on the other side?
Yeah. Was I?
What hump?
It's like he's told so many lies and like all these crazy like stuff. It's based on kind of a true story, but it's like he can't keep them straight. But I would like to put Christoph Waltz on my list and Christoph Waltz with an eye patch.
Yes.
So, ooh. Separately.
Yes.
Very excellent intriguing.
Yeah. Excellent.
Very hunky Austrian man.
Giovanni Ribisi, like, chewing a lot of chewing gum is online.
Yeah. And that, to me, is very Rocketeer, like,
yeah.
But, yeah. And then also, yeah, Laurence Olivier in a very unusual posthumous cameo. So, but yeah, this is very stylized, all digital, Sin City style, like all digital, oh, yeah. green screen type filming. They use minimal actual like physical things, like you like desks and chairs and like papers and little props and stuff. But the bulk of the stuff is all digitally created.
So. Which in 2004 was the thing, huge. Because they were like, oh, yeah. we can use green screens for everything.
Yeah.
Oh, this really opens things up.
Yeah.
So that was one of the reasons I wanted to pick this movie. One, just because I saw it when it came out, and I was like, oh, that's interesting. And then I think I saw it again on TV. I was like, oh, I totally forgot about this movie.
Yeah.
But it's one that's also spun out of, like, you know, it didn't make the money. It was kind of a flop, but it kind of led the way of people were like, oh, to see what was possible. Because you look at the 2004, and obviously it's very cartoonish. But, obviously, you know, today, the Avengers, when you see the behind-the-scenes stuff, they're on kind of all different green and blue platforms, and they're like, oh, yeah, we'll fix it in post.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought that was really cool, because this was a precursor to Sin City, which I think was 2006.
Yeah, I think it was the
2005.
Yeah. And it's interesting. So we'll get everybody's thoughts. We'll go around the horn and see what everybody thought of it. So we'll start with Trav. You're a fan.
Yes. Well, it had the old pulp style feel of kind of even Batman, the animated series. And to me, I always think of Sky Captain, Rocketeer, and Iron Giant together as kind of before I knew it was diesel punk. I was like, I like it for some reason. I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think you can shoehorn in like Captain America. Seems like he would fit comfortably in all three of those eras. But I think it was only shot in over like 26 days.
Wow.
Because they didn't have to be on location.
Oh, no. Like I didn't think about that.
You get some potted fucking plants, and then you're like, okay, we have a desk here. You're going to walk by. There's going to be a giant dinosaur thing. Or this is a skeleton. Like, you've got a robot coming over here. Like, it's I kind of like how campy it is and how not great it is. It's pretty thin on plot, but I don't know. I can't put my finger on it, but I like it.
Yeah, I will say... there were two things. Like, there's my 2021 feelings and then my 2004 feelings.
Yeah.
The 2021 feelings were, what the fuck? It was like, because it was every, like we were just talking about, it was James Bond. It was, you know, it had
Indiana everything. Jones.
Indiana Jones. It was everything in one.
What was it? Tales of the Golden Monkey? Was that the 80s show? Do you guys know that?
What?
Was that Guts?
Wait, like the Legend of the Hidden Temple?
Yeah, like the Aggro Crag? I was like,
Tales of the Golden Monkey.
Yeah, but
what is that?
I'm gonna look that up.
You guys, yeah, please. Keep talking. Yeah, but it was like, I thought there was just so much going on in this one, and it's like, but I actually liked it. It was, of course, it was very comical to me. I did smoke some puff,
some moon enhancers.
Yeah, and Dex was that?
Yeah, Giovanni. Yeah. It,
Dex was just one of like, he was like the character where I was like, why is he here? But I'm so glad he's here. And it was just, there were a few scenes where it was like, okay, so his whole, we're doing spoilers, right? Spoilers.
Yeah.
His whole base gets destroyed. Numerous people are on this thing to try to take care of this base. He only cares about Dex. Like, he comes through it again. They just naturally assume he's stolen. They can't find anything. And they're just like, oh, I bet they took him. I'm like, there are hundreds of people that are dead. And we're just going to assume that they took him? Mm-hmm. I'm like, I love this. Yeah. And so, it honestly, it grew on me a lot. And I did read a little bit about it, and the movie itself. And I was like, you know, I can see why this is a cult classic. Because going to 2004, I probably would have loved the shit out of it. Mm-hmm. I would have just been enamored by it. Because I think I was with Sin City. I had that Sin City's vibe. I was like, this is so cool. It's kind of groundbreaking.
Yeah.
But when I watch it now, I'm like, wow, man, Jude Law, really? And I was like, bro.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, I don't think it was great acting either. Mm-mm. I thought it was terrible acting.
I didn't
know.
It was like,
but in a good way?
Poly-
is that a thing?
It was Men's like, cap.
Yeah. It, oh, my God. And, you know, and they played to the part, thank God, but I was like, there are a lot of things to take pictures of.
Mm-hmm.
And you're gonna take a picture of him, aren't you? At the very end, you're gonna do it, aren't you? Yeah. And I was like, can you just?
I'll know it when I see it.
Yeah, and I was like, no. Come on now. I was just like, it's, but in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I hate to say it, I'd never seen it before.
Yeah,
but I will watch it again for sure. Yeah. I mean, I can see why it's a cult following.
Mm-hmm.
But very comical to me in a 2021 ad, like, for never seeing it ever.
Yeah.
But in 2004, I probably would have been blown away. I'd have been like, this is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's still pretty short, too. It's like an hour and a half or maybe an hour 40.
An hour 40-ish. Yeah, hour 40. And like, I think that's why I also, P.S., I love films like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't waste my fucking time. It was just like, you know, get in, get out. And like, and did it waste my time? Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
But I'll do it again. Mm-hmm. I'll waste an hour and 40 minutes on that. Yeah. So I, thumbs up for me.
Yeah, I tend to just assume every movie is an hour and a half. And then I start watching it, and I'm like, oh, why is this going like, so long?
Every song like is 3 minutes.
It didn't seem long. I don't know.
No,
because they change scenes so quickly.
Yeah, I will say they did. I felt like they just jumped. They were like, you figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm blanking, but there were a few scenes where it's like, so we're just going to assume that this has happened. We're not really going to answer any of this.
It was
like,
not a complicated plot.
Yeah,
like,
no,
there weren't a lot of pieces to try to bridge together, but like they really just sort of like moved it along, and they were like, you can figure it out. I mean, fuck, it's not that complicated.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they got in. I don't know how, but they're in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, like this part that was like defended by a robot, like you somehow have to get into a vent. Okay, well, now you're in a forest. I don't know. Figure it out.
Yeah.
Like, it's fine. Like, you're just here to like see the fun visions and like...
Yeah.
Same way. You had to like kind of melt into it a little bit. Like you start off and you're like, oh, this is like really very stylized, and you got to kind of adjust to it. But once you do, you can kind of get into it. You can immerse yourself a little bit and you kind of relax into the plot.
Oh yeah.
And I mean, I was the same way. It grew on me, but it was also like every single scene that was like a high stakes scene, like, oh no, something's going to happen. They did it like 4 or 5 times where it was like they're crossing a bridge or a log or she's got her camera trapped in a thing or it's going to explode. Can we talk about how long that dynamite fuse was?
Yeah.
It was like that Monty Python scene where he just keeps running toward the castle and it just never changes distance. Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry to interrupt, but it's like it made me think of like they're running away from these creatures they've never seen before. They cross the log. They basically escape with their own lives. Mm-hmm. They're sitting there. They're trying to like catching their breath. I took a picture of the log.
She just starts crying.
And he's dying laughing. I'm like, 20 seconds ago, these pterodactyls are about to rip you to shreds.
That's my thing. There is like, there is no threat to their life. The entire movie, you're just like, they're fine.
Yeah.
They are fine. Mm-hmm. They escaped a fucking Himalayan explosion.
Exactly. Yeah. And again, that's why it keeps growing on me. Anyway.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's, you know, it's just cheap fun. Like there's no stakes to it. There's no like risk involved. Like, you know, at the end, like, he's going to get the girl and, you know, everyone's going to be happy and they're going to save the world, like, whatever. You just got to lay back and enjoy it, you know?
And I think one thing we were talking about before
is they told me on prom night.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
It's just an excuse to eat popcorn.
Yeah.
Also, what they told me on prom night.
Yeah, wait a minute. I was confused. Is that his night? It was like prom night? Yeah. But, you know, I think it is.
Popcorn butter was.
It is a little crazy to think of, like, you know, in 2004, which this is all kind of new. I wouldn't say groundbreaking, but it kind of was.
It was.
It's like to think of these actors. You know, I always love thinking about this shit where it's like Jude Law read this whole thing and was like, this is going to enhance my career. And I was like, I'm doing this.
It was nice seeing Gwyneth Paltrow like pre-goop.
Yeah.
Like seeing her before she was full of herself.
Yeah.
Before you could buy a vagina candle of her asshole.
Which explodes. Or an asshole
candle of her vagina.
That's been in the sun. Yeah.
Wait.
That's been bleached.
But do you smell it?
It's a vagina scented candle. Vagina candle.
On goop.
Yeah. I'm not sure if it's Paltrow's vagina. Or just
I think it's generic vagina. Which
the Walmart vagina?
Which would be a great name for a mystery novel.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm a punk band.
Well, this is clearance Walmart vagina.
Oh, candle. You mean Aldi?
Ooh.
Aldi vagina? That ain't right. Oh,
but to answer your question, they had the guy that wrote and was gonna direct directed Sky Captain, he had like a 5 to 7 minute short about how like basically previz, like, hey, this is a trailer of what we think it's going to look like.
Well, and sorry,
and like, that's how a lot of people were like, oh, I like this.
Well, see, and that's what I'm saying. Like, that's what I was trying to get at. It's like it's more impressive to me that like in that time, which he said was basically groundbreaking, that these actors and actresses pulled that off.
Yeah,
you know, because like I think that's where I thought the acting was just like meh, but I thought it was so cool that like this was kind of a new thing. Like, so wait a minute. You're just going to superimpose, which is now just common, but like you're just, there's nothing behind me. They're just like, no, you're just going to have this little like green tennis ball.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, this is what you're going to look at. And like, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Like, and again, I think they pulled it off pretty well.
Yeah.
Well, what I've seen that I really like is Love, Death, and Robots now kind of does the same thing. I don't know if you guys have seen season 2, but there's an Insane in season 1 where, you see the actor. There's one of Michael B. Jordan in this one, and it's almost you're not sure if he is in the scene or if they just took, you know, put all the dots on his face mo-cap. And he's in it. So if they another technique is called rotoscoping, which Tay, you and I watched that Fire and Ice song, or no, not a song of Fire and Ice, just Frank Frazetta's Fire and Ice, where they basically will film the person doing the movements, but then animate over them.
Yeah.
And then they can put them on the blue screen and put them anywhere they want. So I don't know if they did some of that on that, not on this, but it's where it evolved to. And this is some of where it started with Sky Captain.
So kind of like in the way that Avatar was sort of a big movement in like 3D technology and filmmaking. Yeah. Like this was a big green screen, blue screen, you know, CGI type movie, kind of like it was Tron, right? Where they were nominated for best animated or best cinematography, but everyone was like, oh, you can't, it was all computer generated. Oh, that's not best cinematography.
Yeah.
Like this was one of the movies that was kind of a milestone in the production world.
This was a reverse Roger Rabbit. This was putting live action in the animated world instead of having an animated character interact with the real world.
And I think in that sense, this is a, you know, kind of a cornerstone movie.
Oh, yeah, I think so, too.
And the first scene, so the short that they did to kind of show people previz on this was of the giants attacking New York, the giant mechanical monsters. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And those are an homage to the Max Fleischer Superman cartoons from back in the 30s, where they finally decided it was that cartoon that they were like, just make fucking Superman fly instead of leap over a building in this single... You know, they animated it, and they're like, we're not going to show him jumping all the time.
We just need to have him static. He can jump over a building. Yeah. Exactly. If you wanted to.
Yeah.
But he can also fly, which makes it a little less impressive. And they're
like, this is way easier. Like, just make him fly. Fuck it. But one of the first episodes was him fighting these mechanical monsters that were like 12, 15 feet tall. And these mechanical monsters in Sky Captain look basically the same.
Which is the idea of the future in the 30s.
They can change into like, you know, airplanes or whatever.
We're going to have humanoid monster robots that like come and attack the city. And
I love the plane that can turn into a submarine.
That was cool.
He's like, oh, it'll be fine. We're not going to slap really into this like a fucking brick wall.
Yada, yada, yada over that.
Yes. Yeah, he did. Yeah.
The physics are not
but
tremendous.
So each section, it's like a pulp comic from back in the day where that was like a chapter one. They're like, the whole thing is in seven chapters. So there's the part where they're in Shangri-La and they see like all the dinosaurs and shit.
Yep.
So each one of those is like the first pull-out page or splash page for a new chapter.
I apologize. Something just came up.
I thought you were chuckling at pull-out page.
No, I just was having a little gassy issue.
Pull-out. So,
what'd you think?
When I first watched it, I was a little bit, I don't know.
Had you seen it before?
Yes.
Okay.
I actually saw it in the theaters, and I actually bought it on DVD.
Oh.
Because when I first watched it, I was a little bit, I hate to say put off by it. I didn't like it when I first watched it. And I bought it on DVD because I was like, I want to watch this again and really, like, give it another shot. Because, like I say, it's so ambitious. It tries to, like I say, it's a whole new chapter of filmmaking. It really, and it has that ambition. And my thought of first watching it was like, this is like watching something where the technology is there, but the creative, the craft hasn't caught up to it yet. And it felt very weightless to me. Like you said, there's no stakes. Like they hit the water. It's like it's very artificial feeling.
You always know they're going to find a way out.
And the actors, to me, always act like, and that might be a byproduct. It's kind of like the Star Wars prequels where it's like you got people who are surrounded by green screens and they act like it. It's like they don't ever seem like they're in any danger. They never seem like anything bad is going to happen to them. And so it took me out of the picture. You know, a little bit, it took me out, like, because it's like it was weightless. There was no suspense to it. There was no gravity to it. It was cute. Yeah, it was definitely, it had that kind of pulpy, pop culture-y kind of, you know, had cool aspects to it. There was an aspect that we haven't talked about, like, it reminded me a little bit of The Incredibles, which came out about that same time.
Yeah.
It was very popcorn-y, very empty carbs. Yeah.
Yeah, so the monsters, Incredibles is in the, you know, set in the 60s, but it's also a little diesel punk because it's got all the weird kind of futuristic stuff.
You know, it's like the future is now. But it reminded me of that, too, like the creature that Mr. Incredible fights, that Omnidroid or whatever. It's like those monsters and stuff kind of look like the monsters you see in this one, the like mechanical. But, you know, my thought was watching it was like, if you took that and made it into a normal movie, you stripped all of this digital green screen stuff out of it and you made it into a normal movie, would it be a good movie without all of that?
Yeah.
Could it stand on? I mean, that's a question. What do you
think? No, I think the answer is no.
Yeah, no way.
And to me, it's like, and we all love beer. It's like, to me, that always has been my complaint about when somebody talks about certain kinds of beers where you have to have, like, you know, lemons and honeys and sugar and, you know, you put it all in there and you stir it. It's really good. It's like, it can't stand on its own.
Yeah. It's a really good beer. You just got to add an orange slice and it's excellent. Yeah. It's like, if it's not good without an orange slice, it's not a good beer.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, I think it's, you know, this, oh, hey, this is like a maple bacon stout aged in bourbon barrels. It's like, well, hey, know that, you know. Know yourself. You know, you like sugar, you like bacon, you like bourbon. Mm-hmm. And it was like, you don't like the beer. You like what's all inside that beer, which I think would be this film. It's like, you know, but.
It's like,
I'll say it's, you can admire the craft of it.
Exactly.
But not necessarily for me, like, more than I admired the movie itself and the story itself.
Well, so a guy, I was watching a YouTube video about Sky Captain, and this guy was like, yeah, this is, you know, a great movie for these reasons, all this jazz. But he also said, obviously, watching it today, the effects look very dated. And he was like, well, you know, they have a very sepia-tinted film.
Mm-hmm.
It really should have just been straight up black and white, like Sin City.
Yep.
And there are pictures out there of that.
Yeah, so he put it through, you know, some nerd thing on his nerd computer. Sorry, guy. but it showed it in black and white. And I was like, oh, yeah, it like helps mask some of the shortcomings.
Much better.
But what was also interesting to me, anyway, watching this film, you could totally take it and they could update all the effects because everything is an effect other than the actors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, just take the raw footage and just update it.
If they really wanted to, they could be like, hey, we've redone it and, you know, up something. I mean, keep it all essentially the same, but just up the effect.
Give it to George Lucas.
Yeah, it's like a blank canvas.
Totenkopf shot first.
Yeah.
Given the era we're in, we're you know, doing the Zack Snyder cut. We're recutting movies that already exist. I wouldn't put it past him. Give him a few years. They're going to start remastering movies that, like, you know, we're all green screen. They're just going to go in and redo it.
But it's like, you know, the saying is that great art isn't finished. It's abandoned. And it's like, at some point, I think you have to just, you know, the sculpture, you have to step back and just let the sculpture be.
Yeah, I think on this one, you leave it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's an artifact.
And also the creepy love affair between Dex and Cap. Mm-hmm. It's like, there was a few times where it was like, good job, kid, or whatever he said.
Follow that story.
But mm-hmm. even Gwyneth was like, you. And it was just like, what's happening here?
Small mini discussion. Is it the Bechdel test where it's like with women in uh-huh. movies? It's like, yeah. I thought about that. Like, how would this movie score on that scale?
There's no second. Oh, wait. The other woman Jolie. Is an android.
Yeah. Well, no, there's Angelina and Jolie.
To me, it's like, yeah. where it's like the whole plot between Angelina Jolie and Gwyneth Paltrow is always They're just rivals. Like jealous. Yeah. yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's like she's flying and just scowling the whole time. And Angelina Jolie is like, oh, what about Nanjing? It's like, oh, my God.
yeah. yeah. She just keeps being like, oh, so you cheated on me with fucking Angelina Jolie and Nanjing? Like, what yeah. the fuck? And so, but the Bechdel test is if there's two female characters, if they have conversation with each other about anything other than the main male character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
That's it.
Yeah. Which this movie does not pass at all.
No. That's what I was saying. I was like, this would not score very well.
Which is pretty typical for a movie from the 1930s. Yeah, so it's tonally consistent.
It is.
I did like the Angelina Jolie and Jude Law doing their whatever their shorthand speak, and we're like, oh, talking about the turtle's up on its tups, and yeah. whatever they say, the rabbits are running. It sounded about banana.
Inside jokes.
But the soundtrack was dope, too.
I
enjoyed the soundtrack.
Because I actually looked it up on Spotify. It's Edward Shearmer. And I listened to it some in my car, and I was like, oh, my God, this is the most epic car ride I've ever done. I felt like Sky Captain. Oh,
or Scaptain.
Scaptain.
Scat.
I felt like Scaptain.
Oh.
Scat.
He's a scat man.
Scatman.
But, yeah, it was, I think, worked with the film perfectly.
Yeah. Yeah. It was well done. Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's been another episode of Cinema Vino.
It has.
Next time, we're going to look at some Batman the Animated Series.
Oh, God.
Episodes.
I might have missed one or two of them.
But, yeah, we'll discuss that. And you guys have any closing thoughts about life?
Yeah, we'll be reviewing Batman the Animated Series, Heart of Steel, Part 1 and 2, and His Silicone Soul, the sequel. Mm-hmm.
So, cinemavino.us? Or no, moviereviews.us.
That's actually toddwofordmovies.com.
Oh, shit. What?
That's too much to say.
It's, you had to make it your own fucking name, I guess. Mm-hmm, yeah. It's going to be Travis, bud.
It's not
penis fart.
Cowboy Stadium. It's Jerry World.
Say it again.
Toddwoffordmovies.com. See, it's not
Toddwoffordmovies.com.
It should be a question every time.
Yeah.
Dot.
Huh?
Bum, bum, bum.
Her?
/ pull out king.
Follow you on Instagram, Twitter?
Instagram, Todd Wofford Movies. Twitter is Movies Todd. I guess because Todd Wofford was taken or Todd Wofford. There was some sort of confusion with that.
Fuck this.
Who do we have to sue?
And then YouTube is Cinemavino?
Cinemavino?
Yes. Yep. Yeah, that's the name of the channel. Huh. Uh-huh. And Facebook is Todd Wofford Movies also. So you can find posts and stuff about that. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, we're everywhere.
Like, rate, review.
Exactly.
Subscribe. Hit that notification bell so you'll see the...
Get your head ringing. Like I'm just Dr. Dre. Oh, wait, what?
And
leave us some comments.
Good Yelp reviews is great.
Yeah. Yelp. Resi.com.
Hey, guys. Tell us what you thought of Sky Captain the World of Tomorrow in the comments below.
Exactly.
And look forward to Travis's YouTube channel with that voice right there.
Mm-hmm. It's like, why?
Work is hard.
Glavin.
But we will see you guys next time.
TTFN. Catch you on the flip-flop, bitches.
You can listen, rate, subscribe to Cinema Vino, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere you choose to listen to your podcasts. My movie reviews are available at toddwoffordmovies.com.
You want to pass me a wine?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Ooh-la-la. Ooh-la-la.
Golly, what a day.
Oh. Sean.